What's up, people? It is December 27th. It's Dallas Stars game day. They'll take on the Blues in just a few hours, maybe just an hour or so by the time this makes air. So sit back, relax, enjoy what me, Kay Fitz, and Weldon all have to say about this game tonight and the upcoming games against Chicago. What's going on?
Not much. Just got home.
Oh, are you serious?
Oh, yeah. I was out running some errands this morning, and I ran by the post office to mail something, and I missed them by 8 minutes, so I got to go back before 4 o'clock to mail off something. So.
Oh, well, thank you for taking the time to join the show.
Not a problem.
No, it was a little bit of a time crunch. It is for me, too, because, yeah, I've got stuff I got to do, too. And. Yeah. Waiting on my friend here, and we're gonna have a full house. Let's no shots below the belt, you know.
We have to keep it clean.
Yes, keep it clean.
No biting, no eye gouging, no
no steel chairs to the side of the head. None of that stuff.
Okay. Oh damn, yeah.
Wait a minute. Did I invite The Undertaker to the show or what?
Maybe John Moxley.
Oh, yikes.
We'll break out the skewers and, you know, make it a little bloody.
Oh, no. I'm not certified for that.
So what have you been up to for the last few days?
Itching for some hockey? That's really all I got for you.
Yeah.
How about you?
I am too. I'm ready for tonight.
Me too, man. How are you feeling about tonight?
I think they're going to come out better than what they did last time against the Blues. But then again, that game was a back-to-back, so.
Yeah, I hate back-to-backs.
Yeah. Well, we basically have one every month from here on out.
Oh, just one?
I think.
That's better than two or three.
I think there may be some months that we've got two, so it gets time crunched because of the All-Star break.
Yeah.
When they get to go to Toronto, as they say it in at the AAC, when they announce the advertisement for it 15 times during a game. Oh, they are so pushing it, too. I mean, it's like, oh, you go get your tickets to go to Toronto. And it's like, I've looked up tickets to the game in Toronto. They're about $400.
Good Lord.
Oh, it's crazy stupid expensive to go to anything in Toronto.
Jeez. Oh, hang on. I'm going to try and add my friend here.
All right.
Oh, there he goes.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. Hey.
Ready to talk about the comeback kids as they are here lately?
Hell yeah.
I think they've had to come back in the last three or four games here. The last one they broke a NHL or made an NHL record of coming back in the last 15 seconds with two goals.
Yeah, that is a record now in the NHL. And they do lead the league in comebacks. So, yeah. Hey. I'll take wins anywhere you can get them.
Same here.
Do you really want to be known for being the comeback kings, though? Come on now.
But
it's better than being the losing kings.
Yeah. You know, remember when we lost, what was it, 12 or 13 last year, and everybody was griping about that?
Yeah, somebody's going to gripe all the time, so.
Yeah, and mainly you at times, you know.
I know what one of the biggest differences this season is for last season is a gentleman by the name of Matt Duchesne.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, Duchesne is
he is definitely a major improvement this year.
Well, I think me and JJ, I think both of you and I both agreed that he would be a key asset for us if we were to go into overtime periods or late in games, needing comebacks and things of that nature.
Oh, for yeah. Sure. And normally when they roll out the overtime starting three is normally Duchesne and Sagan and Miro.
Yeah.
You know, they've switched away from Jamie and Tyler and Miro, and you know, now it's Duchesne. So
here's a good question that just popped into my head. Is the secret ever gonna be out on Duchesne? Will they be able to stop him?
I personally don't think so. Just because he's one of the more creative players out there. If you ever watch his stick movement, it's really kind of rapid, and you really can't pinpoint exactly which direction he's going to come at you from.
Yeah, and plus he never gives up on a play, you know, and especially in 3-on-3. I know it's gotten so kind of boring that if you don't get the perfect entry, you skate back out and you try it again, you know, and that's, I know there's been talks from other shows that governors are actually possibly talking about putting, you know, rules into that, you know, I don't know if it'll ever fly, but.
You mean the re-entry thing?
Yeah, the re-entry thing. That once you've entered, unless the other team clears it or, you know, something like that, almost kind of like a shot clock, which I think is complete BS. But
you know. I don't know how that really works out in hockey, especially when you know you may enter in, and if you don't have the look, you should have the option of exiting the zone to give yourself a better look. Yeah. I don't think they should be able to force you into making a play.
Yeah,
and I'll be honest with you, I'm actually quite impressed with the Stars in their overtime periods this season as opposed to last season, because I think last season they rushed too many times and their puck control was horrible at some point, lost the puck and gave up situations where it was a 2-on-1 and either Ottinger or Wedgwood, whichever one was in the net, it's difficult to defend against something like that.
Yeah, and I totally agree on that. I don't think there should be, you know, any kind of rule changes. I mean, when 3-on-3 first came in, you know, Dallas was pretty much king at 3-on-3. You put Ben Sagan and Klinger out there, and, you know, they were pretty much lights out, but that's when it was still run and gun and, you know, and it was still very fast-paced. Now where they've slowed it down, you know, too, it's almost boring at times. You know, I was there at the last overtime game and it was just like, oh my God, would somebody please get it a little further in and maybe take a shot at the net, you know? And then Duchesne, you know, pulled off his miracle run. So, but yeah, it's been interesting with their 3-on-3 play this year. I don't want to get to it. You know, I'd just rather win it in regulation and go home.
Yes.
You know.
Which at the beginning of the season, they seem to have been doing pretty well at getting it done in the regular season. And I'll be honest, the other night against Nashville, when they scored, I thought, oh God, here we go to another overtime. And then when they scored back to back like that, I was like, holy smokes, what in the world?
Yeah. And I mean, there again, it goes back to that old adage, it throw it to the net, you know, in desperation, somebody's going to eventually get it, you know. I mean, I wouldn't have picked Steele to, you know, to hit the game tying goal, you know. So, but, you know, that fourth line is, you know, they're hard on the puck when it comes to getting around the crease and beating and banging and everything.
Yeah, that they are.
For once, you have a team that is a four-line team, though, instead of a one-liner.
Yes. This is the first time, and JJ, you can go and look this up. You've been following the Stars, you know, forever. This is the first time that Dallas has had three scoring lines. They haven't had this in a very, very long time. Maybe since back to when Lindy Ruff was here, you know, when he still had the pit bull line, you know, that was the shutdown line. You know,
yeah, because I know in the past season, like last season, of course you had the Ben Johnson line that would score, and you also had the Hint Robertson line. But beyond that, it was kind of hit or miss on the other two. This has been an interesting season as far as these lines go.
Yeah, well, and I mean, so I went back this morning, was listening to the 18th show before Ottawa, and was going back and looking at stats. So Dallas right now, their top line of, you know, Robertson, Hintz, and Pavelski are almost point per game, is a point per game line with them three. And then you drop down to the second line with Sagan and Marchment. They're scoring 75% of the time, you know, because each one of those is high 20s, mid, and I think, who is it that's a low man on the totem pole? I think it's Johnston or Jamie, you know, as far as scoring. And, you know, this is the most well-balanced scoring that we've had in a very, very long time, you know, where
it really is.
Pavelski's, you know, 32 games, he's got 31 points. Robertson's the same way, 32 games, 31 points. So they're almost a point per game, you know, so.
That's freaking wild.
You know, and Duchesne, you know, 31 games at 29 points.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's
somebody's gonna pull it up.
Somebody let a Blues fan in the chat. Uh-oh. We've made it big now. I ticked off a Blues fan. They're barking.
Yeah, that's the ding dogs. We had somebody come in that I wasn't expecting. Usually happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
But, I mean, you know, it's kind of cool this year to have three lines that, you know, you don't just have to worry about defending against, you know, the Avenger line, basically, you know. And there's been many nights that DeBoer has come out and said, you know, the Duchesne line, you know, of all the Ontario boys, they're the best line on the ice that night.
That's crazy.
You know.
I absolutely loved. I can't sing his praises enough. And I didn't really know. I think I was the first one that said, I don't really know why they bought him out. But then again, I don't even know why we have him.
Yeah. Like,
it's a double-sided coin. Like, how did he slip by?
Well, there was, they wanted a regime change in Nashville. You know.
That's what it is.
And they weren't going to get rid of Forsberg, and they weren't going to get rid of Yossi and their goalie. Everybody else has pretty much changed.
Yeah. And, well, and it's like I was telling you at the beginning of the season, I figured Duchesne was going to come out with a chip on his shoulder because, you know, he was going into the offseason, I understand, wanting the regime change, but he had contract in hand.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was feeling pretty secure, and the next thing you know, he's bought out, and he's like, wait a minute, what in the world? And it kind of happened, like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
In fact, we were kind of shocked when Dallas was able to pick him up. And I figured when, you know, if you go back and listen to some of the podcasts we did during the offseason, I told you, I figured he was going to be one of the key players on this team this season, because I felt like he was going to come in with a chip on his shoulder and have something to prove.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he definitely could have gone anywhere else in the league and made a lot more money.
Oh, yeah.
But I think he wanted to come to a team that was contending, you know, and not move his family too far away from where they used to be. I mean, granted, you're, you know, 12-hour drive, but, you know, a 2-hour flight from Nashville.
True.
I mean, I think he still owns his home in Nashville. I don't think he's ever moved per se. So
yeah, he just took a picture with his family on Christmas, and it said Nashville up on the top of it.
Well, I think even after the game in Nashville, I think he just stayed there because there was stuff on Instagram that they were having a nice little party in the garage at his house. So so I don't think he flew back with the team. So
hey, do what you want, man. It's the holidays, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not gonna complain. I love having him on this team.
He caught me completely off guard, I will be brutally honest.
Well, and there goes to prove that Jim Neal does not deal in the media when he's going to do something. He doesn't tip his hand, and he doesn't say anything to anybody until that name's on the paper.
No, look at last season when we brought in Dodonov first, and then we wound up getting Domi, Max Domi. Both of those came from out of left field. Nobody had a clue. It was kind of like, holy smokes, what?
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of rumbles that he might be going after Domi, but as far as Dodonov, no, there was.
Yeah, Dodonov was definitely a big surprise.
Yeah, considering that, you know, poor little Denis Gurianov, he's not even in the NHL right now.
No,
breaks my heart, man.
Well, I like the guy. He was an incredibly nice guy to talk to, but he definitely had problems that stinted all the way back to the Texas Stars, you know.
Oh, yike.
Because there were times, remember when the Stars played for the Calder and Gurianov didn't play. He was benched, you know. So
it was his inconsistency, I think, which was his downfall.
I think he has a big confidence problem.
Yeah.
I thought with when Radulov was here, you know, that was going to kind of help him, you know, kind of almost kind of like the Val Nichushkin when he was the only Russian on the team. You know, it's got to be hard for those guys when no one else speaks their language. You know, there's no one really to buddy up with. And, you know, other than Val's first year, you know, he was kind of a flop for 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, and now he's all of a sudden in the last 3 years, he's found his game. He's found a good home in Colorado. And, you know, so, you know, I liked Val. I'm happy he's doing well. But, you know, he just didn't fit in here in Dallas.
Well, I guess everybody got a win out of that deal, too, because now we got Dodonov. And
yeah. And I think Dodonov, I mean, we've got Dodonov for another year after this. And Duchesne, you know, I'm hoping he'll be like Joe and he'll take some friendly contracts, since, you know, he said in the beginning it's not about the money. You know, I mean, he's making $10 million this year. Between
honestly, one thing I noticed in him is if you watch him on the ice, he's having a lot of fun.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like, if you go back and you watch some of his game tape from when he was with the Predators, it was more of a, he looked more like he was under stress.
Yeah.
As opposed to like right now, he is out there and he's just having a blast.
Yeah.
And I you can actually kind of sense that, especially on, you know, with his line, that he brings a lot of energy to that line.
Yeah. I mean, cause he has definitely brought Tyler Black back to life.
Oh yeah.
Considering that Tyler only had 21 goals, 29 assists last year in 76 games. Tyler's at 10 goals, 13 assists in 32 games. You know, so he's already halfway to what he did last year in a quarter of the time.
Holy cow.
I expect that Tyler will probably get 20 to 25 goals this year. You know,
that wouldn't surprise me. I don't think we're going to have like we did last season with Robertson, you know, having the 40 goal season. I don't know that we're going to have a player that's going to have something like that. I think this season it's going to be more even across the board. I think we're going to have a few that are going to be in the 30s, most going to be in that 25, you know, plus range, and which is really good. It's kind of something you really want. It's great to have that single player like we did last season with Robertson. And yes, he brings a lot of that brings a lot of attention. Also brings a lot of attention to himself. However, when you have it more evenly based and everybody's kind of across the board, if you look across the board right now, you know, you got Duchesne. Let's just look here. So you got Pavelski, who's got most goals right now at 13. Right behind him is Hintz and Duchesne. They both have 11 each. Then you've got Robertson and Marchment and Seguin at 10. And then it kind of just trickles from there with Johnson at 9, Dodonov at 8, Ben at 5, Smith at 3, Fox at 2, and so on and so forth. So if you look across that and the lines that they're on, it's a well-even, well-based kind of team. And that's kind of what you want, especially when you're trying to build a championship team.
Yeah, it's definitely way more balanced, you know. And I wondered where when Duchesne came in at where he was going to fit, because I knew he wasn't going to play third line minutes. And then when they paired him up with Sagan, you know, and then flipping either Delandria in there sometimes, you know, or you know Jamie or Johnston, you know, it makes it harder on the other team to try to figure out, okay, who do we want to stop? Because if we stop the Avenger line, then you've still got, you know, as I call them, the Ontario boys, because that's where they started. Every single one of them are from Ontario.
Right.
You know, then you've got to worry about stopping that line. You know, and then if you could kind of stop that line, then you've got to worry about Ben and Johnston and Dodonov.
You know? Yeah.
Because they're passing on that line is like freakishly awesome at times. Now there's some times that they make some stupid passes and it's like, what, where were you passing to? You know, but, you know, that I can say.
And that's just part of the game. I think you could go to every game and find any third.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cause I could say that even on the Avengers line, you know, their passing is very, very creative. And it's like, what were y'all doing? You know, but that's easy to do when you're sitting in the third level and you're watching and you're going, hey, that guy over there is open, but you know. So
you know, and I mean, I'll be honest with you, I would have to say, in my opinion, I would have to say the Robertson, Hintz, and Pavelski's got to be one of the more feared lines in the league right now.
Oh yeah, yeah,
because
and they're only
one better. Of those three can strike at any moment and fast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, especially with Hintz, with the speed that he has, you know, because he is by far probably the fastest guy on the team.
And of course, you got Pavelski, the ageless wonder.
Yeah, Mr. Tip Wizard.
Yeah.
You know, that's like I was telling JJ. He's like, well, you know, when does he leave? And I was like, he's evolved his game to where he doesn't have to beat and bang in the corners and fight for the puck. I said, he just finds those little soft areas and he gets a stick out there and he tips them away. And, you know, he's just,
yeah, he is definitely a master at that.
Yeah. He's evolved his game to his age, you know? So, you know, cause JJ, you'll remember this. We talked about what we thought players would have at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Pavs would probably have 25 goals. He's mm-hmm. already halfway there, and we're not even halfway through the season.
Yeah.
You know.
I wouldn't have guessed it, honestly.
I could see everybody on that line, Robertson, Hintz, and Pavelski, all three of them having 25-plus goals this season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think Robertson, I think he's gonna find his game again. He's starting to shoot a little more, you know.
Well, you know, when you score 40 goals in back to back seasons like he has,
yeah,
you're gonna garner more attention. It's just a natural progression. It's just like in the NFL. How many times do you see a running back have a stellar season or a wide receiver have a stellar season, and then the next season is kind of a what they call a slump, and it's not really a slump. It's just that you've opened the eyes of the league now, and so players are going to play you a little harder, and you know, and it's showing. But one thing that I love about Robertson right now is he is being super like aggressive. Like he is not taking anything lying down. He's not letting anybody push him around out there at all.
Yeah, he's being very physical, you know.
Johnston as well. I think at one point he was leading us in penalty minutes. I think they had to finally reel him in and tell him, "Hey, calm down, young man."
Yeah. Well, he was making little stupid mistakes of, you know, hookings and little slashing calls and stuff like that. And then Marchment retook the lead again.
Yeah, but we kind of knew Marchment was eventually going to reclaim that lead.
Oh yeah,
it's kind of a Mason Marchment thing to be in that penalty box.
Yeah, well, that's like a couple of weeks ago when they had a too many men on the ice.
Yeah,
we're like, why is it they always pick Marchment to go in a box? So we tweeted it at the post game show, and got Owen and Bruce to actually answer it, It doesn't go against his penalty minutes, but the reason why he's always picked is because he doesn't penalty kill.
He's not factored into the penalty kill at all, really.
And I had never noticed that he didn't penalty kill, and so I was I said, well, you know, as long as that doesn't go against, you know, his points, you know, because I know he's probably, like I said, I'm pretty sure he's probably leading the team in penalty minutes.
That poor guy.
Yeah.
I still say he's worth every penny they paid for him, too.
Oh, yeah.
As long as he keeps playing like he is, you know. Last year, I would have not said that.
Really?
I wasn't happy with his play last year. And I'll come out and admit it. I didn't like his play. Kind of thought he sucked at times. So.
Yeah, and those 15 overtime losses. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Well, if I can switch this over to our defenseman, who else is surprised about how Harley's been playing this season?
Yeah. Harley's been playing really, really well.
Nine goals for a defenseman?
Yeah.
That's outstanding.
But, and in this sense, and I've argued this with JJ before, we've had these big scoring defensemen before.
Mm-hmm.
You had Trevor Daly. You had Klinger. Mm-hmm. And what was the biggest thing that everybody would bitch about? Oh, he just needs to be a forward. He just wants to score. And I think JJ, you included, said that a few times.
Not to that extent.
My argument with Harley, though, is I don't necessarily see him as wanting to be a forward and trying to score. He's just really been Johnny on the spot. He's been in the right place at the right time and taking the shot at the right moments. And you know, it's quite impressive at it.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, the game has changed. It's not a Darian Hatcher, Zuboff. It's still very much a Nick Lindstrom, Scott Niedermeyer. You know, those guys love to score, and they were damn good at it. But they could also play defense. Mm-hmm. Harley has still got to get better on defense, because there's some times that he makes some horrible pinches. And he's way out of position. And even DeBoer has said that on air, you know, that he's got to be more mindful at when he pinches, you know, to jump into the play. But kid's got a bomb of a shot.
And it's nice, though, because when you have Harley out there, or even Hanley, or whoever decides to just, you know, wallop one from the blue line or whatever, it's nice to know that you can see somebody else scoring besides a forward. Like,
yeah,
you don't know where that goal is coming from, and that makes it more dangerous.
Well, and that's where the game has changed. I mean, you've got the Cale Makars of the world, you know, that are scoring like crazy. I like the fact that Makar scores, but I don't like Makar's defense. He does not play defense very well.
No, he leaves himself open to a lot of, you know, opportunities where he's in the wrong, he's in a bad position on the transition into the offensive zone. So yeah, I agree with you on that.
Yeah. And I mean, Miro is definitely defense first.
Yes. And,
you know, that's why he was brought in here. And I think that's, you know, that's always going to be his MO, is defense first. You know, if they ever get to where they give an award for the best defensive defenseman and not the scoring title, you know, Miro's going to be up there every year.
Oh, yeah. And even with his defense, he's still doing fairly well. I mean, he's 4 goals and 19 assists on the season. Yeah.
You know, if he would just throw it into the masses more, you know, because, I mean, that a lot of times that's what Klinger would do. I mean, Klinger could – he had a wizardry at getting the shot through that first layer of defense, you know. And that was the biggest thing I loved about him. Still nobody skates the blue line like Klinger did, not even Miro.
Yeah.
And
I think that's probably one of the downfalls of this team right now, is it seems like they have a hard time getting it through that first line of defense a lot of the time and getting it towards the net. You know, many a times they're taking shots, and those shots are being blocked before it even gets close to to the goal minder, the net minder. So, I mean, it's just you're not giving yourself many opportunities on rebounds and things of that nature.
Yeah, because that's like the other night. I think they said Nashville blocked 38 shots or something like that. I mean, just, you know, credit to those guys that you're laying out in front of a, you know, 70 or 80 mile an hour slap shot or whatever, you know.
Yeah, you're really putting your body on the line on that.
not something that I would want to do, you know.
No. That's kind of some, Billy Madison things type, you know, jumping in front of the puck, sitting in front of the baseballs coming at him in that movie. That was Happy Gilmore, excuse me.
Yeah,
Adam Sandler, regardless. But yeah, I certainly wouldn't want to be throwing myself in front of a puck coming at me at about 70, 80 miles an hour, and 90 miles an hour in some cases.
Yeah. Well, they said that Hockenpah shot was 94 and a half miles an hour.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, which still isn't even Zdeno Chara or, you know, Shea Weber. You know, those guys were shooting well over 100 miles an hour on a slap shot.
Yeah.
You know, those are brutal.
I still wish Chara would have suited up for the Stars. Dude, that would have been amazing.
He's too big and too slow.
I mean, you know, the intimidation factor of it, though.
If I could take any really, really big defenseman, it would be Victor Hedman.
Okay.
He's still 6'6", you know, 230, 240, but he skates like a forward.
Yeah, he can move. He can definitely move for a big man.
That's what I always said about Rig. If Rig went and trained with him in the summertime and learned how to skate like, you know, Hedman does, you know, Rig would be unstoppable, you know. And now he's just kind of out there to be a big pole in the center of the ice. So
I had a lot of hope for Oleksiak, too. I'm with you.
Yeah. I liked him. I mean, he was a nice guy. He was always fun to talk to. He always had some cool stories. But, you know, expansion teams happen. Hopefully we don't have any more in the next few years. So
yeah, hopefully.
I've seen rumors.
Oh yeah.
Well, there's always going to be rumors.
Freaking, what was it? Houston. What else?
Well, Houston was trying to get Arizona.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Okay. Yeah, Houston was really pushing for Arizona to move down.
Because the owner of the Houston Rockets, he really, really wants a hockey team.
That was almost as bad as when Red McCollum said owned the Minnesota Vikings in San Antonio, because Red McCollum, of course, is from San Antonio. So San Antonio was doing a big push to get the Vikings at the time to move down to San Antonio.
Oh, good.
Crazy. Yeah, no,
only reason why I know McCollum is because he's a huge donor to the Texas Longhorns.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got buildings named after him down there. The Red McCollum School of Business. You know.
No. Three Longhorn fans and hockey fans all on one show. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Kind of a scary thing. We'll see what we get on the first. Hopefully we get the win.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting Sugar Bowl.
It is.
And then you got the depressing Cowboys that, you know.
Hey, no. This is a hockey
show. Oh, yeah, I know. This is a hockey show.
This isn't the Longhorns. This isn't Dallas Cowboys. This is Dallas Stars.
Well, we're using it for comparison.
Yeah.
Well, I would go on record as saying the Dallas Stars are the best team in Dallas. I don't care if the Rangers won the World Series or not.
Yeah.
The Rangers lucked into the World Series.
Ah, you're an Astros fan.
Hey.
they handled the Astros pretty easily, you know.
They did.
Without their trash cans and whistles, you know. I can still honestly say that I got to see Jose Altuve play before he went to the Astros, and I thought he was a high school kid when he was playing with the Corpus Christi Hooks. Because we went to a game and they're like, oh yeah, we have this guy coming in. He's going to be a huge prospect for the Astros. And he comes out and I'm like, where's the huge part? I was like, I thought there was a height limit in baseball. Because he was so small, but I mean, he's a phenomenal player.
He really is.
So, yeah. But
all right.
Going back to hockey. Any word on that? Have any of y'all heard anything on what's going on with Ottinger?
There has been radio silence.
Yeah, it really has been really quiet. They're being so hush-hush. One of the things that I had brought up to JJ earlier on in the season was I thought something was going on with Ottinger. He just wasn't playing, in my opinion, the way he had been playing in the past.
Yeah.
He didn't seem like he was moving as quick in the net as he had in the past. And I think that he was injured coming into the season. And Right. I knew he had surgery, but I don't think that he fully recovered from that.
Yeah.
And it was definitely showing. And I think that this injury might have opened their eyes and said, oh, we might be pushing this young man a little bit too hard for his young career that he's in.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I've been saying with Dallas for the last couple of years, that, you know, because last year should have been Jake's breakout year, because that would have been the end of Bishop's contract.
Uh-huh.
That would have been the year that he officially took over. But, you know, since he had to kind of start back in, you know, what, 21, 20, 20 or 21?
Yeah, playoffs of 21, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
And, you know, I think he got pushed a little fast. And I don't want to see what happened to Bishop in Tampa, where they would play him 60, 65, sometimes almost 70 games a year, you know, and now Vasilevskiy's having the exact same thing happen to him because he's the main goalie every night, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I think Bishop, you know, I think his final year, I think he only played 40 games until he got hurt. But I don't want to see, you know, Otter play 65 games a year and then he's worn out by the time he's, you know, 28 years old. So
that's a scary thought.
Yeah.
You know, and I know, and, you know, they kept bringing it up last season about how he was in college, how he could play all these games back to back to back. That's great, but college is not the NHL. It's a whole different ball, whole different game out there. It's a different speed.
The
players are a lot bigger. You're dealing with faster pucks flying at you at multiple different directions. Your body is moving in ways it really shouldn't be moving in some nights. And on top of all that, you're on ice, which is not really – I mean, yeah, you can warm your muscles up as much as you want, but you are still on ice.
Yeah. Well, and college season is, what, 40 games, I think?
Yeah, it's not even near as many games as an NHL season.
You know, so they're not even close to the duration, you know.
And even if you were to play, college and play on a national level for, like, Team USA or Team Canada or one of those other, Olympics, setting teams, you're still not playing that full schedule like you are in the NHL.
No. And I think most teams now have gone to a solid 1-2, sets of goalies. They're just not enough good goalies to go around,
It's true.
And I think Dallas has got a pretty good little farm club of, of goalies with Murray and Poirier and Thompson, the other big kid. So, I think they've got a, I think they're going to be okay at the goalie position for a while.
Yeah.
Unless some of those guys just flame out and then they're, never worth the crap.
Which is another reason why I couldn't understand why they were pushing Ottinger so hard, especially at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
He's playing, almost three times as many games as Wedgwood was.
Yeah, but he was pretty much 3-1.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that way.
No. But
God, that's rough.
But at the beginning of the season, we did have a very tough start to this season with
this is true.
We were playing. We weren't playing Arizona and Chicago and, we were playing, freaking Vegas and the Maple Leafs and, top tier teams. So, you want them, you want to have your best chance in there, at any given time. So.
Yeah. And I feel like we could have won some of those games had Ottinger been 100%, but you could just see there was something. I kept telling JJ, there's something going on with Ottinger. He's he just doesn't seem like he's got the energy like he usually does. He's not. And I don't mean to make this sound bad, but it's like when he would get scored on, there wasn't the anger like he had last season. It was kind of a, like, you could see it was a down thing. Like, I'm injured. I'm out here trying the best I can. And I'm just, it's more like a depression. Like, you could see it. And I was just like, there's something going on. When he got injured, it looked bad, but it didn't. I mean, puck got caught underneath his skate. You could see he was agonizing in pain, but it just it didn't seem like it was that bad. And now we're kind of still radio silence. Nobody's really saying what it is, but it has to be something pretty major.
I'm thinking it's probably his hip because that's what he had surgery on. See, they've never come out and said what his surgery was. Everyone else, when Hintz went and got his, when Sagan had his surgery, a couple of years ago, they said exactly what it was,
And yeah, they did.
They have never said what Otter's is,
Yeah, and you could just see it just didn't seem like he was fully healed from that. Honest and truly, it might have been a situation, and I understand the strength of our schedule, but it might have been a situation where you might have wanted to bring somebody in at goalie, back up Wedgwood, and just give Ottinger some time to really, really recoup that hit.
Yeah.
If that's the case, because I think they might have caused some more damage by having him out there. And I understand the competitive nature of a young man. You don't want to be, you want to hold on to your position. You dang sure don't want to lose it to somebody. And especially as young as he is, you finally make it to the dance. And you don't want to let that go. But, man, at one point, you got to be – that's where, as a head coach or as a training staff, you got to step in and say, look, you've got many years ahead of you. You're a great player. You're not losing anything, but you need to heal yourself.
Yeah. I'm really surprised that they have not put him on LTIR yet.
Yeah.
Because he's still just week to week, you know.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Cap Friendly right now, and he's still week to week as of the 18th.
Week to week feels like a, hey, good luck getting him back sort of thing to me.
Yeah.
Like, that just seems fishy.
Well, yeah. I mean, like when they put Harley on, you know, when we all knew what happened to him when he got pushed into the boards face first, you know, mm-hmm. He was day to day, you know, for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, you know. So
this could be that he doesn't want to, or they don't want to admit he's going to be down for a while, though. You know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, but why not take that LTIR and have that cap to be able to spend if we need to bring someone in?
Bring somebody in. Yeah, I agree 100%.
Just, we ain't got no money right now. We got
we
got $457,000 right now.
No, and let's just say, God hope it doesn't, but let's just say Wedgwood goes down.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I agree. You put Otter on that and you bring somebody, or you at least have that captain where if you need to, because I think we can make it right now with Wedgwood and Murray.
That's
a good combination. You know, Murray, even though he's a young kid, he's still impressive, especially if you ever watch some of his games down at that, you know, in Cedar Park. You know, he's a pretty impressive young goalie. He's going to have a career ahead of him, most certainly. But so I think, you know, you're fine right now. But if, say, the worst case scenario should happen and Wedgwood should go down or Murray should go down or something of that nature, you're going to put yourself in a bad position by trying to keep Ottinger on the day-to-day or week-to-week type situation when you know he's not coming back.
Shoot, they were in a similar situation a couple of years ago when Bishop and Hedobin went down.
Yeah.
I think that's when they brought up Jake, and it was just like, what's going on?
Yeah, I think you're right, and that was during the playoffs, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why they had to bring Ottinger in.
Yeah, because then Dobie took over and, you know, and played out of his mind for, you know, a handful of series and everything. Mm-hmm. So
got him paid and then he got hurt or whatever happened to him. And yeah,
he got paid and then he just kind of fell apart. He got COVID real bad is what happened to him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he got COVID when he was back home and he just. It took him a long time to recover from it, and that's when Jake stepped in and kind of took the ball and ran with it.
Yeah, COVID being that it affects the lungs, that's not something you want to get, especially playing on ice.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they said that one affected his lungs. He was having problems with his heart and everything else. So, yeah. You know, it was that hit him real hard. So
that sucks.
But yeah, I'm real surprised that they haven't thrown him on LTIR yet. So, but
it makes you wonder again, why wouldn't they? Like you said, extra money. We need the extra money. We got the Blues and Blackhawks coming up back to back to back.
Yeah,
not literal back to back to back days, but
really,
they're in sequence. Yeah, man, stop it.
You know, I gotta give
you. You don't say. It's not really back to back to back to back. What?
Oh, hush!
I thought they were going like baseball now, where it's, you know, double headers, triple headers.
No, that would suck.
Oh God,
that's like that five overtime game at the AAC that one night.
Oh my Lord!
It was just like, oh my God, I'm ready to go home. Somebody win, you know.
Oh, we had one of those last season. I think it made it to, what, three or four overtimes. I was just ready for someone to finally score. It's just, please, someone put us out of our misery.
So,
well, how are y'all feeling against St. Louis tonight?
I said, I think they're going to come out with a little more attitude than what they did last time, you know.
I'm on the same page. I think honestly, truly, I think these comebacks they've had here lately have kind of reinvigorated this team, especially that one the other night, and I think they're going to come out with some energy tonight.
12 seconds.
12 sacks.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I mean, just think of that. Two goals. 12 seconds. And won the game in regular. Not going to overtime, not tying the game to go to overtime, winning the game in regulation. Never happened before. First time ever.
I mean, we've scored fast goals before. I mean, oh, yeah. I think last year we did it in records last year at scoring within, you know, the first 4 seconds of the game. We're up by a goal or something like that.
Yeah, and we've scored to tie games to go into overtime.
Yeah.
But never has it happened where tie that fast, that rapid succession.
Yeah.
To win a game.
I love how you guys both messaged me at the same time and said the same darn thing.
Yep.
Like, I two words. One of them was holy, and you can fill in the other one.
Yeah. Wow. I was like, where did that come from? Like, I'm not going to lie. I didn't get to watch much of the game because I think I was working that day. And I finally got to come in and watch the third period. And I remember I was like, oh, my God, we're down two goals. And I was just watching the clock, and it's ticking by. And it's like, yeah, this ain't gonna happen. Oh, well, you know, I guess back to the drawing board. And the next thing you know, it was a goal. And then, you know, with like 12 seconds left, it's like, okay. But, you know, 12 seconds are, you know, left to even tie this thing. Well, we were tied at that point. Now we're going to go to overtime, and then all of a sudden, goal.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I mean, when they scored that, I mean, it was like all the air in the Nashville arena just went.
Oh, yeah.
It went out.
That crowd went so quiet, so fast.
Yeah. that would have been a game that I would have loved to have been at.
Yeah, you could have heard a pin drop at that point. Like you could actually hear the refs as they were talking on the ice to them as they were getting ready to do that final puck drop. You know, it's like, I think the refs were even in shock over all of that.
Yeah. And I mean, that was a bomb that Hockenpah did.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he just skated up, and I mean, that was an all-star slap shot.
To use a WWF phrase, that was ruthless aggression right there. Yeah. Just he willed it to happen.
Yeah. And I actually and when they showed the replay of it, I actually thought that Steele might have gotten a piece of it.
Yeah, it looked like he might have redirected it a little. Yeah. But
they never, you know, they never came back and said that it was his goal. So, you know, I guess it got through clean. So. But yeah, that was an incredible game. I mean, I ended up waking my wife up because she was sleeping, and I pretty much yelled the holy, and she came in like 2 seconds later, and she's like, "What?" And I was like, "We were down by two goals. We came back and won." She's like, "What?" And I was like, "You just got to watch the last 30 seconds of the game."
Yeah, really. Don't watch the rest of the game. Just watch that last 30 seconds. It's exciting enough at that point.
Because when Nashville wants to lock down a game, they can lock down a game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the way Dallas has been trying to play lockdown, and they can't do it for some weird reason. But, yeah,
Nashville. No, I always get nervous when Dallas tries to play that lockdown game and they wind up going into our offensive zone, and it's like you're just waiting. You know it's fixing to happen, and a goal. And it's like, oh, there it is.
They're not good at playing a shutdown game anymore.
They don't
have the people, you know, that they used to that could play that style. Because you can't keep Foxa and, you know, his crew out on the ice for, you know, however long you're trying to play lockdown. You know, because I mean that used to be the way when, you know, like when Ruff was here and he had, you know, Eakin and Garbutt and Roussel, those guys could just lock down a game.
Yeah.
You know, and then you had Klinger and Lindell paired together and, you know, they could play shutdown hockey. So, But, you know, now we don't really, you know, everybody wants to complain about some of our defensemen and everything, but, you know, is what it is.
It wasn't me this time. Nope. I complain about the whole team. They don't have any killer instincts.
Well, you know, sometimes it's not about killer instincts. It's, you know, it's nice to be able to, you know, run up 8 goals, but that's not going to happen every game.
Well, shoot, before the Nashville game, I didn't think they had enough gumption to grind out a win either.
Yeah, but when you look at the standings, you know, we're at 32 games, we've got 20 wins.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
in our division, and I heard you say this about Winnipeg on the one of your other shows,
uh-huh.
That you didn't think Winnipeg was supposed to be all that great this year. Uh-uh. They're us and Winnipeg are the only ones in our division in the Central with under double-digit losses.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
No. That is. That's crazy. And it's with, what's his name? Bonus.
Yeah.
At the helm.
I mean, he's got some talented guys up there. You know, Winnipeg. I didn't think Winnipeg was going to be worth a crap this year with all the people that they lost.
Right. See?
But, you know, it does show you what coaching can do. You know, they're 20-9. We're 20-8.
That's, oh my. Wow.
You know, now we've got more overtime losses than they do. We've got 4. They've only got 1. Or no, they have 3. So, but
I see where the 1 came in. There's 1 difference.
Yeah. No, but I was looking further down.
Wow.
But so I mean, you look at Dallas across the board. If you look at all 4 leaders, you know, who's leading their division, you know, we're 5 points behind Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
We are tied with Boston at points at 44. Boston's on a 4-game losing streak right now. Isn't that joyous?
Isn't that a shock?
Yeah. And we're 3 points behind the Rangers. You know, at 47 points. So I don't think Dallas is doing too bad this year, you know. I mean, the Central is a dogfight, you know.
It always has been. I mean,
first to 8th place is, you know, or from Dallas to Minnesota, there's 10 points difference.
Yeah.
You know.
Jeez.
One team.
And there's so many rivalries there if you look at it, you know. You got us in Colorado, which has always been kind of a rivalry. You got us in Minnesota, which is always going to be a rivalry, you know, us in Winnipeg, you know. It's just kind of all of these games are like rivalry style games. Every game is almost like a playoff game. It's not like a regular, okay, this is who we're playing this week. You know, every game is personal.
Yeah. And even with Chicago coming in, you know, for 2 games, I mean, even though they've only won 10 games, that's not going to be an easy game.
No.
No. I mean, you've still got to be able to shut down Bedard. I look for Miro to be on the ice every time that kid's on the ice, you know, because he's really about the only defenseman we have that can skate with him, you know, and they've got to get physical with him.
Yeah. And once again, to go back to last season, you know, the Stars have a bad habit of playing to the level of who they're playing or who they think they're playing against. Oh, so, yeah. You know, they have a bad tendency of looking at the record and thinking, oh, this should be a pushover team, and they get stomped. You know, it's like, what in the world? You go out there and you throw pucks at Boston like it's no tomorrow, and then you come in against a team like Chicago, and it's like they stomp, you know, live a mess out of you. It's like, where'd that come from?
Yeah. Well, and hopefully, you know, that they'll get the win tonight, and then they'll, you know, get a couple of good days of practice in. Because I have a feeling DeBoer's probably going to get on their ass and remind them about, you know, what happened last time.
Yeah.
As well he should. I mean, shoot.
Am I the only one that would love to just see or be in the room when DeBoer goes off? Because he's always so calm, and he's always like, if you ever watch his interviews, he's never very like high emotion. He's very level emotion. He can be talking about the worst thing, and it's very level emotion. Then he can be talking about the best thing, and it's level emotion.
Yeah,
you know, it's almost like a Bill Belichick for the NFL. You know, you never see him really throwing emotion out there.
He's definitely not a Tortorella or Babcock or, you know, that just goes out and loses his mind in front of the media.
Oh, God. Hancock, he used to have some, oh, boy, media. You almost look forward to some of his, especially if they lost.
Oh, good. Yeah.
He'd come in there red-faced, and you knew he just ripped into the team like it was no tomorrow. Oh,
I think there's some guys in the locker room that can – you know, could probably be a little worse than, you know, what the coach is. Is,
oh,
you know, and you know, everybody likes to say how quiet Jamie is and you know, how quiet Pavs is. I don't think either one of those guys, you know, both of them being one captain and one former captain, I don't think they can be very quiet. If they have something to say, I think they're going to say it, and, you know, guys are not going to take it to heart, you know, and be like, oh, he's picking on me. You know, I think they're going to, you know, take that as, okay, this guy's been here, he's done that, you know, especially Pavs, you know, Captain America, he's, you know, led the American team. He's, you know, he's pretty much done everything but win the Stanley Cup so far. So, but I think there's a
he's couple, definitely going to be a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got to be, you know, with the amount of everything that he's done. So,
okay. Yeah,
one thing I got to say about Ben is this season, Ben has actually come out a little bit more passionate, in my opinion. You know, right off the bat, he's, you know, getting into fights again, and, you know, he's out there pushing people around and, you know, doing what he needs to do out there as a captain. And it's nice to see.
Yeah. Well, and he's doing it where he's not getting penalized for it. Because, I mean, there were times that, you know, he would take a bad cross check or, you know, a slashing call or something like that when it would be at the most unopportune time and, you know, and hurt the team. But now he's – because there's nights that, I mean, he's just like a wrecking ball out there. Just you got the puck, he's going to hit you. You know, he's definitely going to finish his check, you know. So,
yeah. Well, yeah. I wonder if that Golden Knights series from last season opened his eyes about a few things and his penalties and how blatant they can be and how they can affect the team.
Yeah. I think it can. You know, and, you know, even though he never really came out, you know, publicly or, you know, other than the, you know, the last, you know, little interview they had about it, you know, I think the whole play with Stone was he was trying to get the team fired up because that game, they were playing like crap.
Uh-huh.
They started like crap, you know, and sometimes that's what
happened. It was like they were skating mud. Yeah, it was like they were skating mud. I mean, they just did low energy. No drive. Yeah, I agree. And, yeah, you're right. Maybe he was trying to get him fired up, but that's not the best way to do it.
No. And as many times as I watched that play, if he wouldn't have done the second little push when Stone was on the ice, he would not have gotten
– he would have been fine. It was when he looked up, and the problem that I have is it's like he looked up and was looking straight at it. At a ref or something, and then he did it. And it's like, why would you? Why?
Yeah.
You know the eyes are on you at that point. You've finished off where you're at. You've done what you needed to do. You're going to go ahead and you probably get penalized for it right now. Just leave it where it is. But it was that second little, where it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. And I mean, Stone did not get hurt by any means.
No.
And, you know, which Stone is kind of he's kind of a DB anyway. I'll keep it friendly for JJ, you know.
So, hey, I'm just doing as I'm told, so don't look at me.
But, you know, I've never liked Stone. I didn't like him when he was in Ottawa, you know, so.
But would you have him on your team?
Yeah. yes and no. The aspect of, yes, he's a great net front guy. He's basically a bigger version of Pavelski.
Yeah, true.
No, because he's so freaking injury prone. You know? Hmm. I don't think last year, if he wouldn't have come back, Vegas wouldn't have won.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, it was kind of the Kucherov syndrome. He came back just in time for the playoffs. Eichel came back just in time for the playoffs. You know, while they were $12 or $13 million over the cap, when those two guys came back into the lineup, you know, so
salary cap skirting.
Yeah, I still like it, but as long, you know, I don't own a team, so you know, my opinion doesn't matter.
I mean, it matters here.
No, but it doesn't change
in the grand scheme of things of the world of the NHL. It does.
I didn't like it when Tampa did it. You know, Kucherov came back. Oh, just in time for the playoffs, and look at him. He's in perfect game shape and ready to go.
Yeah,
you can't tell me that man was not sitting back and practicing with the team every day at full speed. Yeah.
Yeah, it did seem fishy.
Because you look at Sagan, when Sagan came back, you know, with what, two games to go or whatever, and we didn't make it into the season or to the playoffs.
Right.
He was nowhere near game ready. You know.
No, and most that come off of injury aren't game ready. Their first game is out there.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that one, you know, hence even that – what was it? Last year, year before last?
Yeah, last year when he got injured.
And I mean, even when he first came out, he went through, you know, he didn't look game ready until about 10 or 15 games into the season. You know,
that's true.
So, you know, you can't tell me that those two guys were not sitting there patiently waiting, you know, to jump back in, that we're ready to go. But, you know, until the Board of Governors decide to change that rule, you know, these guys, these teams are going to keep doing that. You know, fortunately, Dallas can't throw anybody off and go, oh, he's hurt. Oh, we need to put him on LTIR and let's go bring in this, this, and this in. You know, because you've got to throw a big player with a big salary in to, you know, to be able to bring in multiple pieces.
Yeah, we can't afford it.
Yeah, I mean, luckily when, you know, Domi and Dodonov came in, they didn't have very high cap hits.
No.
You know, so, and who, you know, who we traded away didn't have, you know, he had a decent cap hit. I think he was around $3 million for Gurianov, but, you know, those other two guys, I don't think between the two of them had a $3 million cap hit.
And, that's wild.
And the way Domi's playing this year, I'm glad we didn't keep him.
Yeah.
Sucking this year.
Struggle, yeah. Change of venue, not so good.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he's playing fourth line minutes, you know.
Yeah.
So. That's crazy.
And I'll tell you, I'll take Duchesne over Domi any day right now.
Oh, hands down, yes. So. I mean, like I said, I hope when those little contract talks start, you know, that Jamie and Tyler and, you know, and Marchmont and everything are in Duchesne's ear going, hey, we're still pretty good here, you know.
Yeah. Let's build something. Come on back. You know, you may not make a killing, but look, we can build something here. We can get a cup.
Yeah. Because if they can get Jake back and he's back to being healthy and Wedgwood continues to play like he is, you know, I know Wedgwood. He had a couple of little hiccups, but. You know,
yeah, he's been impressive this season.
He's played solid. He, you know, I always dreaded when he was in net last year.
I can relate.
No comment.
I can relate.
Kind of like when Dobie and, you know, and Bishop were there together. You know, I always kind of dreaded Dobie and being in that. I was never a big Hudobin fan, you know, and but always loved Bishop. But, you know, Bishop could make some stupid moves too. So, you know.
How often did they happen? It wasn't all that often.
It wasn't often, but it seemed like it would happen in key parts of the game.
Yeah.
Well, Wedgwood last season, he had that curse too. There were many times where he'd go behind the net and wind up out of position.
Oh, yeah.
Very bad times. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Even now, I'm like, dude, just get in net. Let your defense handle it. You know, and I get to go to practice and watch practice quite a bit, and you know, and watch what Jeff Reese does with them and everything. And that's something that he preaches. I mean, you know, it's stopping that puck behind the net instead of letting it go all the way around. And you know, but you know, he when he talks, you can hear him on the ice from, you know, the sidelines. You know, he's saying you've got to be fast enough to get back there and get it and stop it. He's because if not, then someone else is going to be right to the front of the net, and you know, you're creating a huge scoring chance. So
yeah, and you're putting yourself in a bad position too, because when you leave that net, you leave the safety of, you know, goaltender interference and things of that nature. You know, you put yourself in a bad position.
Yeah.
Hey man, I'm just worried about him getting out of the blue paint. Holy moly.
Well, I mean, like the overtime goal against the Blues that last game, there was nothing he could do. He had done his job. You know, Tyler was late.
Oh, he stretched it out. He was fully stretched out. There's nothing more he could have done than that.
Yeah. Tyler was just late getting back to, you know, get whoever was open. And, you know, you could see when they panned over to Tyler, he knew that he was out of position. And
Yeah, but
expressions are everything.
You know, Miro made a bad pass, and so
Wedgwood had already blocked almost two shots on that when they finally made it on the third shot. You know, there's nothing you can do.
So I, you know, there's been a lot of goals that I haven't put on him. You know, there's been the ones that they've just blown one by him, and it's like, okay, you should have that. You know, especially glove side. You know. But, you know, those little backdoor, you know, wraparounds or something like that. I mean, he's been really, really good this year. So
I forget which game it was, though, that he was holding on to a lead. And man, he was just Johnny on the spot, left and right.
Oh,
you know,
would that have been the shooting gallery one against the Edmonton Oilers?
I think that's the one that I'm thinking of. And they had a couple of two on one or you know, breakouts, and he was just, and he stayed laser focused. He didn't bite anything, and just, man, he was on it.
Yeah.
He was on it.
Well, I think he's enjoying being here, and you know, if they need to let, you know, Murray or Thompson or, you know, Poirier grow a little more in the AHL, you know, I think he's showing that he's competitive enough that, you know, they can keep him here, you know.
Yeah.
So.
And he's showing his growth this season. He's keeping us in a lot of games.
Oh, yeah.
We probably shouldn't be in, you know.
Yeah, because there's definitely been a handful of games that, you know, that he's made some major saves. And, you know, it's like the last overtime game that we had at the AAC. I was like, okay, I don't want to get to a shootout because I don't know how he is in a shootout. Let's just, you know, finish it in overtime or finish it in regular time. And, you know, and then Duchesne just completely undresses, you know, Quinn Hughes. And
Wedgwood, though, he stoned out. Who was it here in the last month? I think it was in a shootout. We won by one goal in the shootout. I think it was Robertson's goal. And they were 0 for 3.
Oh, okay.
Wedgwood stoned them. Trying to remember which game that was.
Well, we haven't been to too many overtime games this year, thank God.
No, we haven't had too many shootouts either.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And at least they've been ending in overtime instead of going to the shootouts.
Yeah.
Too many shootouts.
Guys, Ben Dodonov and Steele look like they're highlighted as players to watch during the games against St. Louis.
That's just because Steele scored a goal finally.
Yeah.
He's been playing good. He's a good defensive player. He really is. He matches up well with Foxa. So,
who do you think plays a factor in this game tonight, man?
I think this game is still going to come down to a defensive game. You know, the Blues play a very defensive style. You know, when you've got Parayko, you know, and guys like that. I mean, because Parayko is just, he is a shutdown defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Very true.
And then you've got head case Jordan Binnington back there. If they can get one past him and get him rattled, you know, that guy can't stop a beach ball.
True.
So, let's see. What is he looking at? He's looking at 11 wins with a 3.28 goals against. That's unheard of compared to what he was a couple of years ago.
Back in their Stanley Cup winning days?
Yeah.
Dude was like a
He was a brick wall back there.
Yeah.
Oh, and let's see. Our penalty kill has slipped to second. Darn.
He says darn.
86.4. I wonder who's got number one.
I'm not sure. The penalty kill for St. Louis is worse though.
Oh yeah, they're 21st.
Oh, dang.
But our penalty minutes, we're second in. We take more penalties than almost anybody.
I know, that's ridiculous. We need to work on that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the last two games against St. Louis both have gone to overtime. First one went to a shootout.
Yeah.
You know, second one went to overtime, which they won. So, you know, I mean, there's no stretch of the imagination. This one can go to overtime as well, especially, you know, if this is a defensive game, which it looks like it's going to be. I gotta say, one of the players you really got to keep an eye on is going to be Duchesne in this game. I think he's going to – he's been factoring in a lot of games here lately, and I think he's going to factor in this one. He's factoring in the last two against St. Louis. So, and I always keep my eye on Robertson. I'm waiting. He's going to have a breakout game. There's going to be a game where it's just he's just going to come out, and you know, so he's another one that, you know, kind of keep an eye. And of course, you're going to have to keep an eye on that entire line there because you know you got Robertson. Hands and mouths, I mean,
yeah.
Either one of those could easily take over a game.
Oh yeah, you know, especially Hint. If he gets on a roll and he's shooting, you know, there's very few guys in the league that are as dangerous as he is.
Yeah,
you know, because he mixes that speed, size, you know, and shooting ability. You know,
he's very creative.
Yeah.
In a lot of his shots come at awkward angles, which makes it so dangerous.
It's crazy, man. And they're coming off a game where, again, they won with 12 seconds, right?
Yep.
A game they won that they shouldn't have won, in all honesty, and somehow found a way.
No. And, you know, and like you said, that's what good teams do. And, you know, and yep. That's what they're going to have to do in the playoffs. You know, if they make the playoffs and everything, you know, it's not always the tic-tac-toe pretty passing, you know, to get to the win. It's, you know, those net front presence tips, you know, sometimes blast from the blue line, you know.
Yep. I mean, fighting along the boards.
Yeah. You
know, winning those fights.
You know, basically that's how Vegas beat us last year. You know,
yeah,
they out battled us. You know,
they wanted it more than we did. That's as honest as I can be.
Yeah.
And it showed. It showed on the ice. It showed in the players. They just came out and they just wanted it.
Yeah. Well, and they had, you know, they won their games quicker. You know, they won their series quicker. You know, they were the fresher team. Dallas is just, they've got to get in.
Oh, yeah. Dallas went through battles getting to that point last season. You know, you had the Minnesota series, which was, you know, bad enough.
Six games of brutalness, and then seven to Seattle, and then, you know, six to Vegas.
Vegas, yeah.
So, you know, where Vegas went, I think they went 4-1 on their first one, and then I forgot what they did on their second one. It was
Vegas definitely had the easier route.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say easier. I mean, because they still had to go through, what'd they go? Edmonton. Winnipeg was the easiest one, but then they had to go through Edmonton, you know, which that one could have gone either way. Because I watched a lot of those games, and Edmonton looked really good against them.
Yeah.
Especially if Edmonton got on the power play. Holy crap, you know.
Vegas just hasn't been in the league to have that bad blood with a lot of teams like Dallas does right now.
Yeah.
You know, that Minnesota, you know, we knew that series was going to be a rough one.
Yeah.
Just coming into it. And when with that hit from Dumba,
yeah,
it just made that series even more harder hitting. I mean, I hadn't seen a series with that hard of hitting in a long time. Seriously, I mean, it just seemed like every game you were oohing and aahing and, oh my gosh, holy smokes.
Yeah.
You know, that was, and I hate to say it, but I think that series itself took a lot out of the Stars.
And, oh, yeah. Yeah. Because that was a brutal series.
Yeah. It really was.
You know, if they could have wiped them, you know, away in, you know, five games instead of it going, you know, six, it would have been a little better.
Yeah.
The team that I was, you know, the most scared of was Seattle, because you would have
thought the Kraken would have really been. Yeah. They're at the end of the season. We were having some issues with them.
Yeah. Well, and Seattle is just so freaking fast. They're not as fast now because they've lost, you know, some of those good key players, you know, but still they were incredible. You know, they didn't look like the same Seattle, you know, last week when we played them. You know, there was still the good puck movement, but Beniers and those guys, they weren't moving it like they did before. So, but yeah, it should be a very interesting game. So,
if I'm going to make any kind of prediction, I say the Stars win tonight 3-2.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
3-2. Are we doing another 2 goals in 10 seconds thing, or
no? I think this one's going to be a 3-2 in regulation.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like you both agree.
Yeah, I think this one will be a 3-2. I think Dallas will get an early lead, and then, you know, St. Louis will try to come back, but just won't get it.
Yeah. I see we trading. I think we trade goals, you know, 1-2, 2-2, and then I think the Stars get that third goal, goes into the third period, you know. And it might go to 4-2 because of an empty netter, but you know, I'm solid at 3-2 going in, you know, ending the third.
Well, see, just as much as I think I have it all figured out, they throw a 2 goals in 10 seconds thing at me, so I don't know what to think anymore.
That's an oddity, though.
Yeah, that one was. I don't think we'll see that one again.
Yeah, that was kind of one of those.
That was a perfect storm there.
I mean, you got to think of how many games have been played in the league since the league's been the league. And this was the first time that's happened. So,
yeah, but see, it's not the fact that it's likely. It's the fact that it is possible. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, like, it's always possible. Yeah,
it's always possible. Anything's possible. I always tell you, any given day, the worst team in the league can beat the best team. Ask, not saying that Florida was the worst team in the league, but they weren't the top team going against, you know, Boston. Look at Boston last season in the playoffs. Nobody would have seen that coming.
No, especially not with Boston having a 3-1 lead in the series. And
yeah,
you know, then they start doing a little trash talking, and you know,
and then they lose the series. Like, oh, yeah. And then Florida winds up making it all the way to the finals. It's like, wow, okay. Nobody would have seen that coming.
No, I'd like to have put a bet on them last year. Because
man, I tell you, if I had the DeLorean, that would definitely be where I'd go back to bet.
Yeah, that would be some good money there.
Yes, sir. Well, JJ, I'm going to go ahead and get running. This has been fun. Well, it's been a pleasure meeting you and talking with you. Look forward to tonight's game, and we'll have to do this again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always up for it when, you know, whenever you're free, or I know your schedule's a little more challenging, so.
Yeah, I got a challenging schedule, unfortunately.
He is a challenge. I'll just say that. I love him.
Speaking of challenge, JJ, what is your prediction for tonight? Mr. You know, I can't count on my Dallas teams.
I'll go. I don't want to do it.
No, nope, you got to do it. We did ours.
Got to do it.
4-3.
Still going with a one goal game.
Mm-hmm. And I'm a little more optimistic based on the last game. They showed me that they can pull something out of their butts when they want to. So, I know. It's bred into me, though. Ask Dwayne, because he's a lifelong friend. He knows my studies and all that. It's just, that's all I got. 4-3, and they're going to pull it out of their butt again.
4-3. All
right.
All right.
So, JJ's calling for the comeback kids again tonight.
Yeah. Go 3-3 in the end of the third period, and that's when it goes the way of the star.
And all right, I guess we'll have to wait and see this evening.
I'm sure I'll text you during the game, JJ.
I will. Well, I'll be texting you too.
If you can get your Bally Sports to work, mine will be up on my TV. You know, my TV that the Stars gave me last year. You know, so
we need to set up a group chat, don't we?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
What do you think, Weldon?
Sure.
That'd be a lot of fun. All right.
Can we? So on group chat, we can still trash the Cowboys.
Of course.
Since it won't be a hockey show,
that's a given.
Ask K-Fitz over here. How often do I trash the Cowboys?
about as often as I do.
Yeah, but you don't send me memes when the Cowboys get their butts handed to them. So, you know, I'm always the first to send you some funny memes. And
yeah, it's because I don't lose sleep when they lose. I'm still sleeping just as good.
Oh yeah. Well, you're probably sleeping during the game, so.
I will say this, at least JJ's not one of them Cowboys fans that just because they win a game, we're winning the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
Oh my God, no. Not no, but heck no.
I'm not kidding. I actually have friends of mine that are Cowboys fans that after they won their first game, this is the year, we them boys. And I'm like, oh God, y'all, stop.
I shot down a Stars fan that said that the Stars are this team is the best team, most likely team to win the Stanley Cup. He's like, this could be the year that the Stars do it. They have the talent, they have this, they have that. I'm like, no.
Still, I'd beg to differ on that one. I would say that they probably stand about an 85% chance of winning it this year.
Yeah, that's about the number I'd go with, about an 85% chance.
This is the year that we have the most balanced attack. I still think our D needs to get a little better. You know, who knows what Neil will, you know, pull out of his butt at the trade deadline. Or if
especially if Ottinger comes back in his true form.
Yeah.
You know, towards around the time the playoffs are coming, that would be great. He's well rested. You know, he's true to form.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think that could carry us a long way into the playoffs.
You know, I'm interested to see what happens at the trade deadline to see one, if we keep Nils Lundqvist or if we keep Steele and Smith and upgrade that fourth line, you know, to some guys that can actually put some goals in the net. Cause even out of those three, I think Foxa still has the most goals and I think he's only got four.
Yeah.
You know, so it'll be interesting to see what Neil does at the trade deadline. You know, because right now we can't count on Texas because I think they're going to make a long run in the playoffs down in Austin. You know,
yeah, they did pretty good last season, and I think they're going to do even better this season.
Yeah, because where are they at in the standings down in the AHL?
I think they're either one or two right now, if I'm not mistaken.
So, yeah, because when you got Bork and Stankoven down there, holy.
Yeah.
Hang on a sec. I'll look up the standings. And now you got me curious. We're going to go league standings, and we're going to go we're not going to go. There we go. They're fifth in the full AHL.
Okay. So where are they at in their division?
Division, let's see. It would help if I could read. Hey.
I thought you went to college.
I did. First in the division.
Yeah. First in the division. Okay. I was going to say, I figured they were first in the division. I didn't know what they were in the league, but I knew they were either first or second in their division. They've been kind of going at it pretty good.
Well, that's cool. So yeah, so if they make a deep playoff run, you know, we can't count on bringing guys up for, you know, any of that. Now, I know they said that Leon Bichelle was supposed to come back in the springtime in time for their for when, you know, Texas Stars go into the playoffs.
He bolted. He said, "See ya."
No, he did. I think he went back because I know he was getting good amounts of play time, but I don't think he was quite ready for this yet, you know, which we've got him for, you know, 4 years before, you know, we even have to worry about him. So
before we even have to worry about him.
Well, before you had to worry about losing him.
Yeah.
So. It was like, you know, because if he was brought in like they say he is to be Miro's partner, you know, at 6'6" and 220 something pounds last time I looked at him, you know, let him ripen him up a little bit, and you know,
oh yeah,
I mean, other than Miro, none of them's come straight in and played to the NHL. You know, Alexiak, Lindell, Klinger. You know, they all started out in Cedar Park.
Yeah.
Yep, true.
So, but, all right, guys. Well, like I said, JJ, fun. If you want to start a group chat on the night's game, I'll chirp in every now and then when I'm watching.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, that just made my day. Well, thank you guys both for joining. I hope we can do this again very soon.
Yeah.
So a pleasure. Fun.
Yeah, it's fun coming in and actually talking with somebody else other than JJ. You know, he knows so little about hockey.
I know.
I like I told him today, I was like, maybe we ought to, you know, start this as a, you know, a thing to do, you know, and have, you know, guest people come in, because I've got some friends that are on the Dallas Diehards that are, you know, some of these guys are pretty knowledgeable and they're more into the salary cap world and the statistics and everything. And I was like, okay, that would be cool to bring, you know, one of these guys in every now and then just to, you know, hear their take on, you know, on things.
Heck yeah.
So
I'm game.
All right. Well, both of y'all enjoy the rest of your day.
Sir, go Stars.
Go Stars. Go Stars. We'll see what happens tonight.
Yes, sir. All right, BS3 Network, that's it for us. Thanks for listening.
All right. Talk to y'all later.
Later, man.
All right. Bye.
Bye.